You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, You Are Never Alone. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Last November, a French news agency announced that in Russia today, there are over 2 million children who are living without families. These helpless children are forced to live like dogs and rats, surviving in cellars and in attics, in abandoned houses, and even in the city sewer systems. The collapse of the socialist system in the Soviet Union has brought untold suffering to this great nation. It is wrong for any of us to say that because these people lived in a communist-controlled country, these people, and especially these children, deserve this unparalleled suffering. Most Russians were never communists. During the rule of the atheistic Soviet socialism, membership in the Communist Party numbered only 4% of the total Russian population. The overwhelming majority of Russians despised this godless system of repressive rule. And a significant section of the Russian population, as revealed by a scholar at the University of Kansas, tried to cling to the historic Christian faith, a faith which had been planted in Russia 1,000 years ago. The clear message of the gospel of Jesus' sin-atoning death and life-giving resurrection was not always clearly preached in Russia. This gospel is the good news that through his death and resurrection, Jesus has opened wide to all sinners the door of heaven, and that our gracious God through his word enables all who repent of their sins to walk through this doorway of grace and salvation. This good news has often in Russia been frequently obscured by difficult to understand church ceremonies and by long-standing traditions. Nevertheless, this does not change the historic fact that the Christian message, both in sermon and in song, has been proclaimed throughout Russia for the last millennium. And so today, it is our opportunity, it is our privilege, yes, it is our solemn responsibility in the sight of God to pray daily and to do whatever we can to encourage, to help, and to sustain these people, and especially these homeless and helpless children, those who are going through tremendous suffering, the like of which most of us cannot even begin to fathom. In his letter to the Galatian Christians, St. Paul urges us, while we have the opportunity, let us do good unto all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. If your church group is presently helping in these and similar difficult situations of suffering, then in deed and in prayer, and by God's grace, do what you can. If your group is not involved in any way, then talk to your pastor or to others and get something started. Many of these people who survived 74 years of ravaging atheistic communism, they need our support. Now is not the time to argue whether they qualify on the basis of a similar ethnic background to your own. In the Bible, in James chapter 2, we read, "If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But, the Bible says, if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." Therefore today, on the basis of the Word of God, I would urge all of you to not remain indifferent and to try to excuse yourself by saying, "There is nothing that I can do," but instead pray for suffering people all over the world, especially those of the household of the faith, those bound together by the sin-cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again and again, the Apostle Paul urges all of us to pray daily and diligently for all people, and especially for those who are suffering. And so as we remember the 2 million children now in Russia who are without families, we need also to remember the children and the young people and the teenagers in our country, those who may not be living like dogs and cats in the streets and in the city sewers, as many children do in Russia, but who nevertheless are lonely because they have no loving and supportive family relationships. Thousands of American and Canadian fathers and mothers are so busy they have no meaningful time to spend with their children. Consequently, thousands of these helpless children might as well be orphans. And because in recent decades our population has moved around so much, relatives of these lonely children are often also too far away to provide any meaningful support. Finally, many of these children, youth and teenagers, belong to no church. They are part of no Christian group willing to uphold them in these difficult times and in their hours of loneliness. Therefore, my friend, if you today are aware of such young people, and if you can visit them, be sure to tell them that they are never alone. Through his prophet Isaiah, God promises that even if their father and mother ignore them, these children need to know that their heavenly Father always loves them and always will help them. If there is any single promise given by Jesus to his disciples that is so crucial and so needed by millions today, it is the promise that Jesus gave to his disciples following his resurrection from the dead. As he was nearing his time for his ascension and his return to heaven, Jesus said to his disciples, "I am always with you, even to the end of the age." There are today those who believe and sometimes even teach that when Jesus, 40 days after his resurrection, ascended into heaven, that he went on a long trip through space, as if traveling to some far-off planet. But this is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches clearly that even though Jesus is not always visible, he is always near us. Let me try to use a simple analogy in order to help understand this. In the cool of the morning, we sometimes see fog. It looks like a cloud or like mist, as we say. But when the sun rises and when the sunlight heats up the air, then the fog frequently disappears. This does not mean that the water vapor, which created the fog, has actually also disappeared. Instead, this water vapor, this humidity, remains in the air but simply becomes invisible and you can no longer see it. This is the same way with Jesus. "I am always with you," Jesus said to his disciples, and he says to us today, even to the end of the world. And so then, as you consider the lonely and needy children in Russia, and as you think of the many lonely children in the United States, in Canada, and in the Caribbean, and as you perhaps struggle with loneliness in your own heart, let the Spirit of God focus your thoughts on the love of God, and on the mercy of God, and the living Word of God. All these blessings of your loving Heavenly Father will drive away the devil's legions of loneliness. Yes, even in your extreme loneliness, let your heart be strengthened by the promise of the psalmist, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him in truth." In his sermon in Athens, Greece, on Mars Hill, the Apostle Paul proclaimed that God is not far from each one of us. When the devil's demons of loneliness attack you, God does not want you to sit around, wringing your hands, wondering how to respond. The best way to fight loneliness is to be in regular communication with God. There is a very popular religious song which says that one can walk in the garden and that God will walk with us and that he will talk with us. Oh, these are some very moving lines, and the tune is so touching that one is moved to hum the tune and sing the words without thinking. And yet, according to the Bible, God does not speak to us through a still, small voice in the garden, but rather God speaks to us lovingly and graciously through his revealed word in the Holy Scriptures. And when we read the Bible, we are not spending time in a book about some old history of religion. We are not focusing on what some past writers have thought about God. No, instead, when you and I read the Bible, and when we hear it preached and taught, we are hearing God speaking fresh words of love and forgiveness and of life and of eternal hope to our hearts. In his living word, God tells us that he is always with us, no matter where we are. The psalmist says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. And if I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. Some of the greatest hymns of the church are built on God's promises that He is always with us. And this is also why the great reformer Martin Luther urged Christians to memorize hymn verses. When confronted with God's holy word, the devil has no choice but to flee. The devil and his demons of loneliness cannot remain where God's life-giving word is either proclaimed or where it is sung. Secondly, in addition to hearing God speak to us in His word, we need also to make sure that we relate to others around us. At the beginning of creation, we read that God told Adam, "It is not good for man to be alone." Therefore, God said, "I will create for him a helpmeet." Even secular studies show repeatedly that friendships and companionship are very healthy. And even though not all of us can have a close marriage partner, we can still have a close friendship with others in the body of Christ. And so then, my friend today, if you are not now an active member of a group of believing Christians, then make it a high priority to find these people. They exist all over the world. These people will provide for you a special and a lasting friendship. These born-again believers will give you Christ-centered and unselfish friendship. And then as you fellowship with other Christians, and as you experience their desire to be your friend through their love, you will then also experience your Heavenly Father's perfect love. It was that divine love of the Heavenly Father that moved Him in spite of your sins and of all your failures to still love you. Even while we were yet sinners, the Apostle Paul writes, Christ died for us. For God so loved not only you and me, my friend, but the whole world, that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die a bloody death on the cruel cross, to pay completely for all of your mistakes in your marriage, all of your failures in relationships where you work, and for all the times you fall short of what God rightfully expects of you. Your gracious Heavenly Father is your friend, and that will never ever change. And now, through His blessing of His Word and Spirit, your Heavenly Father is asking you, yes, He is urging you. In Jesus Christ, God is enabling you to reach out to others, to the homeless children of Russia, to the helpless children throughout the United States and Canada and the Caribbean, and to the children in your own neighborhood. In Jesus Christ, God has taken away all alienation between you and Himself, and now, empowered by God, He wants you to pass it on. Yes, pass on His love for the lonely, and when you do, you will be doubly blessed. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray today for the helpless, the hopeless, and especially for the lonely in our country, in Russia, and all over the world. Visit the lonely with Your Spirit, cleanse their consciences, and empower their will with Your living Word. Assure all those listening to this message that in Jesus Christ You have forgiven them and that You will always be with them, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.